The first actuator that we will consider is the direct current motor. DC motor can be considered as the inverse of a tachometric dynamo, since it exploits the rotation of a conductive material that is merged into a magnetic field that develops a electromotive force proportional to the rotation velocity. This allows us to suppose in a first approximation that the voltage that we provide to the motor will be proportional to the rotation velocity omega. In other words, if we remember the tachometric dynamo, we remember that in that case a rotor was rotating within a magnetic field provided by a nucleus, a ferromagnetic nucleus, and the electromotive force inducted into a sinusoidal circuit wounded around the rotor was demonstrated to be proportional to the rotation velocity. In this case, the effect is the opposite. The rotor is at rest, and we apply a voltage to a sinusoidal circuit, to, let's say, an inductor wounded around it. And due to the law of the electromagnetism, a rotational force will be applied to the rotor that will start to rotate with an angular velocity more or less proportional to the voltage applied, and in a direction that will depend on the sign of the voltage applied to it and related to the magnetic field into which the rotor is merged. Since we need to apply a force on the basis of the voltage provided to the rotor to move it and to move also those objects that are connected to the shaft around which the rotor rotates, another characteristic or another parameter that is provided in a tunable way but by the direct current motor is the torque that is considered proportional to the provided current to the motor itself. So as we can conclude that the motor receives a electronic power that is the product of the voltage time the current, and a certain part of this electronic power will be converted into the mechanical energy that will make the motor to rotate together with the objects that are connected to it. We have expressed the proportionality between voltage and velocity and the current and the torque with the two constants K and K prime that are typically not equal. So as the ratio K divided by K prime is normally a number that is greater than 1. In other words, looking at the formula shown in slide 15, we can conclude, as expected, that only part of the electronic power goes into mechanical power, and the yield is not 1, but we lose something in dissipations, in, let's say, passive components. Really? Looking at the nature of the direct current motor, electrical losses, for example, the power dissipation on the resistors and the coils that characterize the motor, mechanical coils due to the friction, electrical shifts due to the inductive effects in the coils, and mechanical losses due to the inertia of the motor are present and cause a difference between what we provide and what we gain. The electric power provided and the mechanical power that we obtain. The yield, therefore, is less than one. Consider that the mechanical power provided is the product of omega time the torque that we indicate with the Greek letter uppercase gamma. The first aspect into which we are interested about direct current motors concerns the transfer function and how it could affect the overall ring gain in the acquisition chain, so as to make considerations about the stability of the overall system. To do this, we have to identify a suitable electrical model for the motor that in the ideal case could be represented by a generator of current related to the voltage V applied to the motor itself, and obtaining in output the two physical magnitudes omega and gamma uppercase proportionally respectively to the voltage applied and to the current provided. But this is only an ideal model that does not consider all the components, electrical and mechanical, into which part of the provided energy is spent and therefore lost. A more realistic model is shown in the lower part of the slide number 16, into which we begin to consider some electronic components like an inductor and a resistor, L and R lowercase, due to the electromagnetic nature of the motor itself, that is very similar, as we said, to the tachometric dynamo. This means that the components that we have included into the model will spread part of the signal that is provided to the motor, and in particular will introduce, I'm thinking about the inductor, a phase shift between the signal provided into the input of the motor and the response, the answer of the motor itself. Another consideration is related to the fact that the torque that we should have related to the current provided to the motor itself is only in part used to move the object that is connected to the motor, to rotate it, for example. But in part is used also to win some oppositions, some resistances that are due to the mechanical nature of the motor itself. For example, in the rotation of the motor may be due to the presence also of gear components or adapters, for example, we have to foresee the presence of possible sources of friction. And we know that the contribution of the friction to the torque is proportional to the product of the coefficient of the friction itself, gamma lowercase, time the angular velocity omega. In other words, gamma omega is the amount of the torque that we need to overcome the friction present into the motor itself, between the components of the motor itself. Another problem could be related to the inertia of the motor. We know that the inertia is a physical magnitude into which we include, or better, we represent the natural opposition of a body, of an object, to the movement due from one side to its own mass, and from the other side to its own geometrical shape. Without entering too much into the detail, we can, in any case, consider an inertia coefficient, J, even for this kind of motor, that will absorb part of the energy provided by the input supply source, and in terms of torque will require a contribution equal to the product of J itself times the derivative function of the angular velocity omega, that is J omega prime. In other words, the torque provided gamma uppercase can be considered as split in three components. Gamma zero, that is the effective torque used to move, to exert a dynamic action on the process we have to control, plus gamma lowercase omega, the friction, plus J omega prime, the inertia. These quantities, in terms of the electrical model, contribute to modify further the shape of the circuit that we use to simulate, to emulate the direct current motor, and of course the general transfer function. In fact, if we represent the current that we provide to the motor as the ratio between gamma zero plus gamma lowercase omega plus J omega prime divided by K prime, and if we take 1 divided by K prime as a common factor of three quantities, gamma uppercase 0 plus gamma lowercase divided by K time the voltage provided to the motor, plus the inertial factor J divided by K time V prime, that is the derivative function of the voltage provided to the motor. This formula has been obtained by replacing the angular velocity with its definition of proportionality to the voltage provided. We can identify three terms. The first can be called I0 and is given by the effective torque gamma 0 divided by K prime. The second can be called Rm and is given by the product of K times K prime divided by the friction coefficient, and the third can be called Cm and is given by the ratio between the inertial factor J and the product K time K prime. So, expressing such a kind of formula in the Laplace domain, we can write that the current given to the motor is equal to a current I0 plus the ratio between the voltage provided divided by the quantity Rm plus S, the frequency, time the factor Cm time the voltage provided. With these considerations, we have introduced into the electrical model two virtual, let's say, components, Rm and Cm, that play the role respectively of a resistor and of a capacitor, and can be inserted into the electrical model, as you can see in slide 17, in parallel with respect to the voltage provided, since they are elements that absorb the current crossing the inductor and the resistor are lowercase. The same can be said for the ideal generator I0 that represent the torque really applied to the process divided by K prime. Clearly, this is a more complete electrical model that suggests us a certain behavior, a certain response in frequency due to the presence of the inductor and of the capacitor, and therefore the presence of suitable cutoff frequencies that limit or could limit the bandwidth of the response of the motor itself. And this could be a problem that theoretically could affect our capability of controlling the motor. Other considerations can be done about the nature of the virtual resistor and capacitor terms. For example, considering this last one, it is clear that the inertia that is considered in the model of the motor is well coupled with the concept of a capacitor. In fact, a capacitor is an energy accumulator, and clearly the body that we want to move, in this case the motor, needs to accumulate energy before starting to modify its own position. So, modeling the inertial effect with a capacitor is a very good idea, is very suitable to the real nature of such a kind of phenomenon. Conversely, we can say that the same suitability is present if we consider the resistor R as representative of the coefficient term gamma lowercase. In fact, if the resistor is high, this means that there is a high opposition to the passage of the current on R itself. And this will correspond in the formula to have a low friction coefficient. But this is correct, because if we have a low friction coefficient, a very low current will be absorbed to win the friction. And this is compliant with the fact that the resistor will be in high opposition, will exert a high resistance to the passage of the current that is provided by the power supply. On the other hand, instead, if the friction is high, the resistor will be low, and the amount of the current absorbed by this electronic component will be very high, just to represent that if the friction is high, it is necessary to spend a big part of the current provided to the motor to win such a kind of mechanical effect. So, the two virtual electronic components that we added to the model well represent the physics that is in development, that is in progress in the motor when it works. The electrical equivalent model that we have developed for the direct current motor could be significantly simplified, considering the two possible modes into which we can provide the power to the motor itself. We said, in fact, that the rotation velocity is proportional to the voltage provided, and that the torque is proportional to the current provided. From the electrical point of view, provide a voltage or a current is not a problem and is not a big difference. If we provide a voltage, we simply use those generators that take the power supply from the public electrical network and adapt the voltage to the need of the application process, in this case of a motor. In case we want to provide a current, basically we will keep the voltage constant and we will regulate the current provided to the motor through a current generator, that is a device into which the resistor on which the voltage is provided is regulated in a variable way. But providing or better controlling the voltage or controlling the current will turn out in exerting a different action by using the motor, that is controlling the velocity or controlling the torque, that is related to the particular process that we are considering. There are processes into which friction, inertia components, the weight of the object that is connected to the motor are not important. We could say even that are negligible, and in this case it is very correct to apply control on the voltage provided to the motor so as to regulate the velocity. Other processes exist into which the weight of the object, friction, inertia components, play a significant role in the evolution of the process, so we cannot neglect them, and in this case it is better to regulate the current provided to the motor so as to have a control on the effective torque that is given to the process itself. Considering these two different situations, we have some consequences that affect the equivalent model and simplify it. First of all, looking at the slide 18, we suppose to supply the voltage to the motor. And immediately we understand that we can neglect the inductor component. In fact, due to the presence of the inductor and of the capacitor, clearly we know that two time constants enter in the general frequency representation of the answer of the equivalent circuit. The first time constant will be given by the inductor and is equal to the ratio between the inductance and the resistor R up lowercase, and the second time constant is due to the presence of the capacitor and of the resistor related to the friction and is given by the product of Cm time Rm. In other words, we have two time constants that express the shift phase, or better, the delays with which this kind of circuit that represents the motor will answer to the input that is provided to it. clearly, the greater delay, the source for a potential problem, is given by the time constant related to the mechanical components. That is significantly greater than the time constant due to the electrical component, as the intuition suggests. This allows to us to simplify the circuit to, let's say, claim that the presence of the inductance L is not so mandatory. And you see that in the new version of the circuit, this component is not present. So only the two resistors, together with the capacitor, are considered. And the ratio between Vm and V, that is the voltage V provided to the motor, and the portion of this voltage that indeed is given to the motor for an effective rotation, is, after a few calculations, expressed by that formula that says that the ratio is 1 divided 1 plus the ratio between the two resistors, multiplying 1 divided by 1 plus S, the frequency, time the tau constant, that is the product of the two resistors, divided by the sum of the two resistors, time the value of the capacity Cm. Moreover, since the ratio between the R lowercase resistor due to the inductive effect divided by R uppercase due to the friction effect is very low, we can say that the gain of the ratio is quite close to 1, and that when T goes to infinity, that is S is close to 0, Vm is equal to V, that is after the initial transient time, all the voltage that is provided to the motor is really and effectively used to obtain a rotation velocity. The losses that affect the motor typically are related to the initial transitory phase. If instead we provide a current, because we need to control the torque, having in mind a specific set of processes into which the motor is involved, we can neglect other two terms in the equivalent circuit, that are the resistor, R lowercase, and the generator I0. The generator I0 was neglected even in the circuit before, previously considered, because basically it represents a constant current provided to the provided by the to the motor, and not affect the frequency response, so it doesn't exert a real role in the response of the motor itself. And again, in the case of the motor supplied with the current, it is in parallel to the ideal generator I that provides the current, so basically doesn't influence the response of the circuit as it is considered. The resistor R is neglected because an ideal current generator like I will have internally an ideal infinite resistance, really a very high resistance, that clearly eats, we could say, the R lowercase. That is, with respect to this resistance, R lowercase is very low, so we can neglect it. The remaining circuit is very straightforward, because it is a typical low pass circuit, so the relationship between the provided current and the voltage in output of the motor that will be related to the rotation velocity is the ratio between the value of the resistor Rm divided 1 plus S that multiplies the time constant Rm time Cm. Again, when the transient expires, the rotation velocity depends only on the friction. The time constant is directly proportional to the inertia, inversely proportional to the friction, and this means that a motor braked reaches earlier its operative velocity because clearly, since it is braked, it is a lower value that can be reached more easily or with less time. Considering the two possibilities, we have to consider that if we want to stop the motor or if we want to brake the motor, we have two alternatives. In the first case, we can turn off the voltage, and in this case, the capacitor Cm will discharge on the parallel of the two resistors, R lowercase and R uppercase. In the second case, turning off the current, the Cm capacity will discharge only on the Rm resistor. So, in the first case, in the parallel between the two resistors, the prevalent one will be the minor one, so R lowercase, and the velocity with which the discharging phase will take place is higher. In the second case, the time constant necessary for the discharging of the capacitor is higher, so this phase is slower. We don't think that one of the two approaches is better than the other, because if we turn off the voltage, this means that we applied a voltage to the motor, because the load connected to the motor typically is not so heavy and don't feature any kind of a friction of inertia that can be considered. So, to stop it very quickly, it is reasonable, because we don't run any risk to cause damages to the device that is attached to the motor. Conversely, if we turn off the current, this means that the object connected to the motor itself features a weight that is not trivial, a friction that must be included in the model together with the inertia. So, an approach that stops it or eventually breaks it slowly, it is advisable, because otherwise to stop it quickly or too much fastly, it could cause a crashing of the overall system or permanent damages both to the process and to the motor.